If you have a Bible, then you love Jesus. I'm just kidding. If you don't, it's okay. We're going to put it up here on the screen. We're looking at Philippians chapter 4 today, and it's going to be fantastic, and I'm very, very grateful. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. No, I'm serious. Rejoice. I mean it. Really, really rejoice. That's what Paul is saying. He's like, no, I'm not kidding. Rejoice. In the four chapters of that make up the book of Philippians, it's a short book, Paul writes pertaining to joy or rejoicing 20 times in four chapters. It's a huge theme within this book. To rejoice, what does he mean by that? Enjoy God. Enjoy his goodness. Enjoy how much he loves you. Enjoy the fact that he's done everything for you. Enjoy this life that he's given you. Enjoy life. Enjoy it all. Lean into it and experience joy. There's a author and speaker that I respect greatly, and I've read several of her books. Her name's Brené Brown. Any Brené Brown fans? Yeah, you watch some of her TED Talks, and her books are good. She's a brilliant person, and in a lot of what she, her perspective, especially now, she danced away from it, but she's come back. But her faith, a lot of her perspective is rooted in her faith. And there's some great book. I recommend Daring Greatly is a great book. And there's another one called Rising Strong that's also good. But Daring Greatly, I think, is just phenomenal. Great perspective. A lot of her research is centered around the subjects of shame and guilt and vulnerability. And so she talks a lot about the human drift into shame and how our propensity to walk around with guilt. And she said this of experience, what she refers to as foreboding joy, which is an interesting thought, but it makes sense when you kind of get her angle on it. She says, joy is vulnerable, and that's why we're afraid to let ourselves feel it. It's a vulnerable feeling. It's a vulnerable posture. And that's why we're afraid to let ourselves feel it. I don't know that we take inventory a lot about this, but if you ever sit down, you do realize how cautious we are with the subject of joy in leaning into it. And in her research, she discovered that joy is one of the most difficult and terrifying human emotions to embrace. And the way she puts it is that human beings are perpetually dress rehearsing tragedy in their heads and their minds and their hearts. We're always waiting for the other shoe to drop. We can't just lean into joy because we don't quite trust it. It feels like we're walking on thin ice. And you'll hear terms that just become part of our modern vernacular, but it, like, hey, don't get your hopes up. Well, why not? That sounds great. I would like to have my hopes up. High hopes we got. Chris, don't sing anymore. All right, so I hope you don't sing anymore. So, but we're scared of it. We're nervous about joy, and it's a tough thing to lean into. And here's Paul saying, no, do that. Rejoice. And he repeats himself. Again, I say rejoice 20 times in the book of Philippians. Please, rejoice. Have joy. Experience joy. Love joy. Lean into joy. Walk in joy. The good news is that something availed itself in her research about joy. And it's something that I want to talk about today. And I'm not talking about Brené Brown today. I'm just using her as a setup. But she did extensive research about apprehension, the apprehension that we have around the subject of joy. And she people that actually, who leaned into joy, who experienced joy more often than not, who embraced joy as a regular part of their life, she found a common denominator in every instance. There was something that every person who leaned into joy regularly had in common with each other. And that was that they were grateful. They practiced gratitude. So that gratitude in a human being opens the door to joy. These things are linked. These things are together. And it's interesting to hear that's what her research showed. And then go back to our verse here, the correlation between joy and gratitude being highlighted in Paul's words in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. So here is this association, experiencing joy by while also being thankful to God. And so he also wrote this. This is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, same author. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I grew up in church, and people would throw this term around a lot. Well, if it's God's will, I'm trying to determine God's will for my life. I'm trying to discover God's will. I don't know if you guys have heard that phrasing, and I heard it a lot. And just praying, I pray, I want to know if this is God's will, I want to do God's will. Sometimes, there's a question mark. Like, is this God's will? What is God's will? Well, this, there's no question mark. This is just stated outright. This is the Apostle Paul, matter of fact, in everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. To give thanks in everything. In other words, live a grateful life. Give thanks in everything. It's God's will for us that we give thanks to God in everything. Notice that Paul doesn't say for everything. He doesn't say be thankful for everything, because that would be very difficult to do. Not that giving thanks in everything is easy, but some things are just, you can't be the car accident. You're not, come on. I mean, that's, you're like, God, you're going to use this. That's great, but I'm not thankful for it. Getting the cold over the holidays, you're not thankful for it. Your company downsizing and being on the bubble, you might lose your job. You're not thankful for that. You shouldn't be thankful for that. But can you be thankful in it? We all want to experience joy. We just do. It's a natural human desire. We want to experience joy. After all, joy is our strength, according to Scripture. That's where we get our resolve. The reservoir of strength comes from this place where joy resides, and we want to enjoy our lives. We want to enjoy this life. We want to have fun. We want to smile. We want to be happy. We want to be up. We want to be appreciative. We want to enjoy the life we're experiencing. We want to enjoy where we are, who we're with, what we're doing. That's God's heart for you. God's heart is for you to enjoy this life he gave you. He doesn't want you begrudgingly, like, just kind of putting your head down and pushing through it. He created a place to enjoy. I mean, all this beauty and all these amazing things that we sometimes look past, that's just fantastic. It's just joy wrapped up in this beautiful gift that God gave us. He could have made this a very boring existence, but he didn't. He made this color and vibrancy and creativity. And I love looking out my window and seeing the feral cat that lives around our house just hanging out. And so that brings joy. I hated cats until these ferals started showing up, and God melted my heart. He changed me. And now I'm sold. My daughter wants to get a cat. And I'm like, no, that's not going to happen. You can enjoy the one that just kind of loiters on our porch sometimes that won't let you pet it. So we put cat food out. I enjoy all the wildlife that comes and enjoys the cat food. I had no idea that every animal on earth eats cat food. We've had blue jays come down, grab cat food, take it to their young. We're feeding multiple generations of blue jays with cat food. Possums and raccoons. Groundhogs love cat food. I had no idea. I had to capture a groundhog in a cage and go release it somewhere else because he was burrowing under my shed and like he's going to make my shed fall over. So I had to relocate this groundhog. I did that by myself. You impressed? No? Okay. Like the crocodile hunter. Anyway, so there's so many things, people and places and things and food. I love food. I really enjoy food. I enjoy pumpkin spice in my iced coffee. That is just heaven. To drink pumpkin spice, listen to the Home Alone soundtrack, and decorate the Christmas tree in my office with a bunch of retro nostalgic ornaments. It's heaven. I did that all day yesterday. It was amazing. Romans 14 describes the kingdom of God this way. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. That's the kingdom of God. That's what it is. That's what it's about. You can't describe a place in three words normally. But here's the kingdom of God. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. That's what it is. Joy. One chapter later, in Romans 15, this is Paul's prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Over and over and over, Jesus expresses his desire that our joy would be made full. That's his desire. He wants our joy. He wants our joy. That's some people that aren't joyful right now. But he expresses that he wants our joy to be made full. That's what he wants. He doesn't want the joy meter on E. He wants it on full for us. He's the source of that joy. Joy is not a culmination of circumstances. It's not a chemical reaction that happens when you feng shui everything in the right place and get everything and everyone's behaving. The kids are not fighting with each other and your spouse is being kind and nice and genteel with you and the job is not calling you after hours and all the circumstances are lined up, things are going as they should, then you earn joy. That's not it. A revelation of who we have in the person of Christ. He's the source of joy. He is joy. He himself is our joy. He himself is our peace. This is the importance of gratitude. Giving thanks in everything because Jesus is for you and he's with you in everything. Not necessarily giving thanks for everything because not all everything's worth giving thanks for, but in all of it, he is consistently faithfully with you. He doesn't leave you. He's not a fair weather friend. He doesn't bail on you. In fact, he's really close to those who are brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. He leans in really close when you're going through hell. In Philippians 4, Paul encourages us to pray with thanksgiving. To pray is to acknowledge and to ask for the things that you lack with a constant focus and appreciation for what you have with thanksgiving. So it's both. To pray is to, God, this isn't right. I don't like this. I need this. I need something to happen here. I'm praying for something that I believed for a long time. It's something that I don't have, but it says to pray with thanksgiving at the same time, which is for what you already have. So, Lord, I need you to intervene, but thank you that you are always with me no matter what. That I have you. You have me. You hold me. You carry me. Now, when we hear messages about qualities like joy and gratitude, this is what we typically hear. Or this is how we interpret what we typically hear. Smile your way through it. Focus on the positive. Just be joyful. Just be grateful. Just do it. I know you don't feel grateful, but just be grateful already. I know you don't feel any joy, but just smile and try. I want to help you because I think that a lot of us wonder why these things are so elusive to us. It's not like any of us want to stiff arm, block out joy on purpose. There's no one here that is, I mean, I know you've heard of gluttons for punishment. I don't think that's the case with most of us. I know some people, we've been around people where any attention is good attention. And, excuse me one second. Be thankful in your cough. I know there's some people that any attention is good attention, so they seem to enjoy complaining. They seem to enjoy the attention that comes. Here comes old negative Nancy, and she comes up like, my sciatica. It's like, okay, I got it. Enough already. The Debbie Downers. We all know those. But I still think deep down in Debbie Downer, there's still this desire for joy. We just want that. We would love to just enjoy life. And so I think some of the questions have to be, for a lot of us, why can't I get there? Why does it feel so elusive? Some people I talk to, it's like one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. It's like, enough already. This is okay. The steady cavalcade of negative circumstances, I get it. It's like the Thanksgiving parade, but every float is crisis. Enough. I just want to enjoy life. I just want to smile for 5 minutes. Can that happen? I spent so much of my life under the assumption that even though you don't feel joyful, you don't feel grateful, you just say you do. Because those are statements of faith. Like, why is lying a statement of faith? Joy. But to go ahead and say, I'm joyful, that's a statement of faith? No, it's a lie. It's a bold-faced lie. I don't have any of that. This is something that we don't talk about. I haven't heard talked about much for whatever reason. And I wish to God someone had told me this years and years ago. This is why so often joy and gratitude elude us and other things like it. The root of our problem is constantly experiencing qualities like joy and gratitude is we can't manufacture those on our own. In other words, we are not the source of these things. So to say, grit your teeth and try hard, how can you do that? It makes no sense if you think about it. If someone, you can't just will yourself to joy. Do this or be this for God, for God's sake, because God said so. It doesn't work. That's why Jesus wasn't given to us as the divine example. He was given to us as the divine substitute. I can't get there from here. Thank God for Jesus. James chapter 1 says that every good and perfect gift is from above, the Father of lights. Everything that is good, everything that is righteous, everything that is pure, that is holy, that is right, it has its starting place in God, not me. It's a gift. Romans 11 says everything is from Him, through Him, and to His glory. Everything that is good. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit, which is juxtaposed to the works of the flesh, which are things that we produce, which, if you read the list, are not positive. Go to Galatians, read the fruits of the Spirit compared to the works of the flesh, and then you can sit there and categorize, well, that's has its origin point in me, works of the flesh. Fruits of the Spirit have their origin point in Jesus. Gratitude is the same thing. It is a fruit of the work of Christ and His grace producing within us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 7 says this, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him in the same way. This is passive faith. This is not you. This is passive faith. Believe, trust Jesus that He has done it all. In the same way, walk in Him, walk by faith, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. It doesn't say, and make yourself overflow with gratitude. This is a byproduct. The same thing is being said over and over and over. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. Trust Jesus. You were saved by grace through faith. It wasn't you. Jesus. Walk in Him. What does that mean? Let Jesus carry you. He leads you. He guides you. He is the path. He is the way. He's your strength. We're not in this on our own. In the same way, we're being built up and established in our faith. Who's doing that? Jesus. And then that causes overflowing gratitude to happen within our hearts and our lives. We will too often shift our focus to the gift rather than the giver of the gift. Faith is a big topic in church, and we obsess over the subject of the faith, rather than the object of our faith, in the source of our faith. So this is how you faith good. You better faith better. Come on. You got to take your faith to the gym and work your faith out. Go to the Lord's gym. Do some faith squats. You need to faith better. It's like, okay, I don't have any right now. Just being honest with you. The focus has to move. The difference between religion and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Religion puts you in the center every single time. That's how you know this is how you know the difference. Who's the source? Who's the point? Where's the objective? Who's doing the heavy lifting? If it's you, it's religion. Religion fails, it crushes, it destroys, it hurts, it maims. And then there's the gospel of grace that always puts Christ at the center. Jesus at the center. Everything's from, through, to Him. Is this helpful? I want to close with a personal story. I'm going to talk about this in practice. And I'm not being Debbie Downer, but I am going to complain for a little bit. In 2020, that was a good year, huh? I actually stood up here in front of the church in January of 2020 and said, this is going to be your best year ever. That's the last time I did that. I was way off. That year, it just so happened where we were meeting as a church for 8 years. They were like, hey, we're selling the place. You need to look for another home because we can't bundle you in the sale. So 2020, as it wasn't stressful enough, we had to find a new home. We didn't want to. We had to. So we began looking, which, if you remember, everything was like 30 times more expensive for whatever reason. And it was in short supply. It was very difficult. So everything that we looked at that could be an option for us, the expense was exorbitant. So we couldn't buy. We just weren't in the place to buy. And then really nothing was reasonable. And to rent, you're like, okay, even if I can somehow wrap my mind around the cost of that monthly expense of rent that you're throwing my way, then there's renovations. We'd have to make it into something because it was nothing. It was very unrealistic, and it was getting to the place where it was disheartening. I didn't want to move. I liked where we were. It was simple. But we didn't have a choice. Finally, I felt very strongly that God had led me to this location. And I don't know if my face print's still out on the outside glass, but I kept like peering into it. And some places that we had talked to, when I told them what we were doing, hey, we want to have a church there, they would say no based on that fact. Like, we're renting to anyone but you. Do you know that there's chains of businesses that have clauses in the contract when they lease space in a shopping center that no church can be in the shopping center? I'll tell you who those are just so you can boycott them. horrible, horrible thing. But there's some chains that would block us from even being able to move into a shopping center. So I found this place, and I realized, once I talked to the owner, the rent was too much. But then he said, I didn't expect. We cover the cost of the renovation up to a certain point. I was like, really? The lease was 10 years. The only thing I've committed to for 10 years or more has been my wife, way more than that. We're 25 almost. This church I've committed to until Jesus takes me out. But 10 years is a lot. And I knew, okay, it's a big commitment and it's a lot of money. But I felt like God also, in addition to bringing me to this place, brought an idea to my heart. Hey, if you have an event space in the building, the event space can take the lion's share of the cost, which isn't burdened by all of that, rent, the additional renovation, all that stuff. And so the church covered the additional renovation, but the church has not been burdened with all the taxes, property taxes, all the rent, everything. So it has worked. It worked. Praise God for that. This is the point where I start to complain. We launched the business in 2021. So we moved in. I think we moved in July. The business started in August. Immediately, it was absolutely overwhelming. I wasn't bored before. Sonia asked me that sometimes. She's like, what were you doing before? Because you looked busy. And I said, I was busy. I had a full-time job, And I just added another one that I didn't want. I didn't ask for this. I didn't say, God, please, in my 40s, I want another business to run or to run me. And some people say, oh, owning an event space, they equate that to like Rick's American Cafe Casablanca. It's like just cool. You walk around in a tuxedo and play it again. And people are just like, hey, Chris, everybody knows your name. That's not it. It's a lot of, my back hurts a lot, and it's a lot of sweeping and mopping at 2 a.m. so that church can come in a few hours later and kind of trying to write a message as I sweep. A lot of that. And so once we got started, I was like, and then just the overwhelming weight, the responsibility, the financial stresses, the unknowns, all of that, I broke. And if you're married, it's such a gift when your spouse is not stressed about what you're stressed about, because then you can bounce stuff off of them. But when they're stressed about the same thing, it's the worst. Like, you're the only person I can talk to, and you're more stressed out than I am. We sank, and it was too much. It was way too much. I wanted out. I was like, you think we can go on the lam? Can we hide out from the creditors? Because the church's name is not on the lease. Chris Stapleton's name's on the lease. And I was like, can I make them think that this was the country singer that signed it? Is there a way to? I couldn't get out. Too much. Way too much. I'm crying myself to sleep every night. I'm stressed. I didn't share these feelings with the church because I didn't want you to wear that too. I just wanted you. You got enough going on. You don't need to be worried about maybe this ain't going to work and maybe our pastor wants to run away and go live in some tent somewhere. It was a lot. That was 4 years ago. I felt crushed, deflated, lost, hopeless. Today, my joy is full. I am loving life. I am overwhelmed. I'm as grateful as I've ever been in my life. Every single day, I just, thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful. And I'm so full of joy. I smile all the time now. And it's real. It's not fake. I'm not just trying to put a smile on. The circumstances are pretty much the same. They haven't changed much. A little bit. Some of it feels lighter. But this year, this is our fourth year of business. This was the least amount of events we've done in a year. So we brought in the least amount of income. So it's been stressful in that sense, but I have it. I'm just like, God will work it out. It's fine. It's different. And I'd love to say, hey, here's four ways I changed myself. Here's the ways I made myself more joyful. Here's the ways I made myself more grateful. I didn't. Do you know me? Have you met me? I didn't do nothing right. If there's 10 things to do right, I do 12 of them wrong. That's how my life is. Something changed, but it wasn't me. It was Jesus changing me. He did surgery. He brought to me something that I could not develop myself. I didn't make myself joyful. I didn't make myself grateful. I didn't just count my blessings. You can count them all day long. Those blessings, it's a very short list compared to the BS list. There's a level and degree of faith, trust, joy, gratitude that I would never have experienced had he not led me down this very bumpy, rocky path. In other words, the person I am today and what I'm experiencing today had to go through the bumpy path that it took to get here. So, when it says, rejoice in, be thankful in, this is why. Endurance, perseverance produces, that's what the Bible says. Having done all the stand, just stand, trust God. There's something at the other side of it that is beautiful and you would not experience otherwise. It's trusting God through it. We're not going to be thankful for everything. We shouldn't be. But by God's grace and His amazing will for us, we can be thankful in it. And again, that is not something that we do. It's something that God does. What that looks like practically is in the very moment that we're in, don't look past where you are. Don't look beyond who you're with. Don't try to fix your eyes on what it should be, what it will be, what it could be. Paul says that having done all these things, I understand that through all my life, this is one thing I've learned. Or it's Peter. There's one thing I learned. That the past is the past, it's over. I'm looking at right now, what's right ahead of me. I keep my eyes set on what's right in front of me. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, tomorrow's got enough problems. Tomorrow's going to worry about itself. Don't worry about tomorrow. Right here. God, I need what I need now. I need grace. I need confidence. I need trust. I need perseverance. I need hope. I need joy. I need thanksgiving. I need that today. To be thankful in the moment is not to try to escape it. God brought you to Chattanooga for a reason. I know you want to be somewhere else, maybe. Just, you're here. God's got you at this job. You may hate it. It may be the worst job ever. You might be looking, shopping, indeed, every single day of your life. And I'm not saying don't look at jobs. I'm just saying He's got you here. You might as well lean into it. The circumstances, the situation you're in, it may not be ideal, but here you are. Lean into it. Let God do something. Be joyful in it. Let God do something in it, because He'll do something in you through it. That's the beauty of it all. I'm going to close here. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're up against, there's nothing wrong with wanting better. There's nothing wrong with wanting different. That's natural. But God gives you grace in your time of need. The Bible says, boldly approach the throne of grace. God will give you help. He will give you that grace in your time of need. We can't go to Costco and buy grace in bulk and put it in our storage shed. It doesn't keep. It's like the Israelites wandering in the desert, and every morning they wake up and they step in their breakfast and they hear, oh, manna! And some people had trust issues like I would and say, what if this manna is not here tomorrow? So they try to put it in the little Tupperwares and they burped it in little Ziploc baggies and they put the manna under their cots to wake up and get a manna Pop-Tart. And they woke up and there's maggots and worms. It's rotted. It didn't keep overnight. Why? You have to trust God that He's going to continually show up if you need grace for the moment. You don't have grace for tomorrow yet. You don't have grace for 10 years from now. You have grace for now. That's what we have. We have to trust God to give us what we need in the moment. So live in the moment. Trust Him to give you what you need, including the gift of joy, the gift of gratitude, the gift that is His presence that permeates every aspect of our lives, that makes this life so good because He is so good.